Father, thank you again for your presence, your goodness, your manifestation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us and in us. Jesus, we honor you, we lift you up, and we thank you that you are the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Word of God. He's the living Word, and we receive it today. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who agreed said,
amen.
Amen. All right, well, we sang some of the lines of my message this morning. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So it's a Valentine blessing to all of you that Jesus loves you. And that's really that's the most important love that there is, to have the love of God in your heart. The Bible does say that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. If you believe the Bible, if you believe the Word of God, then the Word of God tells you that the love of God is in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So because of the Holy Spirit, we can live in love, we can act in love, we can conduct ourselves in love. It's not always the easiest thing to do, I admit it, if we live in this world, but we just want to be children of God's love and to walk in that love. Amen. The Word of God tells me so. 1 John 4:16, today is our first scripture. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. You know, I was doing a little research of the different versions of the Bible. There's so many versions, but the main top 10, love is found 280 times in the King James. I use King James. 322 in the New King James. 575 times the word love is found in the New Living Translation. 526 in the New International Version. 505 times in the English Standard Version, 340 times in the New American Standard Bible, 364 in the Amplified, 447 in the New English Version, 491, I did top 10, 491 in the Revised Standard Version, and the Authorized Standard Version, 306 times. That means a grand total of 4,156 times is the word loved used in those 10 Bibles. And so, obviously, the subject of love is critically important in the Word of God. And God wants you to know. The Bible says in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed. We know and believe. We know and believe because that's what the Bible tells us. And so, for anyone that is new to the Word of God, we put our faith in God's Word as if God were standing here with his word in his hand, and we trust his word, and some of us live by his word. We want God's word as much as we can get into our lives and in our hearts, and so we encourage everybody to be people of the Bible, to find out what the Bible says, and to learn to live according to the Bible. And obviously, none of us are perfect. None of us are great at living by the Bible, but we are continually growing up into Christ. We're continually learning and growing and developing and being taught. We're teachable. We want to be teachable. You can't tell me anything. I mean, there are people that we've met, we know people that say, you can't tell me anything, but we always want to be open and teachable so that we can, it's humility. Humility is of God. We humble ourselves in the sight of God. All right, so we know and believe the love God has for us. Gratitude and love to so many in this church for helping and serving and giving their time and their resources to make us a church. We are a church. Praise God for this facility that we've moved into in the last few months, and we're grateful to the Lord. And so I just want to shout out to some of the servants in the church. Kathy comes in the morning and sets up, and Josh comes early and stays late, doing anything and everything that needs to be done. Lawrence does all the handiwork around here. Amanda's in charge of all office coordination. Melissa coordinates all activities behind the scenes. John is the superintendent of the facility and chief financial officer. Gowan and Jessica coordinate the music ministry. Sam does screens and prayer. Teresa vacuums. There's so many people that we appreciate what you do here. You're behind the scenes. You don't look for anything special. Our faithful prayer team, we love you prayers that you come and you pray all times, a lot of times during the week. Randy and Dolores and John and Sam and all of you guys. So many others chip in financially to help make us a church. And so we're grateful for everything that God has provided for us. And so God loves you. We want everybody to know God loves you. A lot of times we make mistakes and we fail and we act ugly sometimes, but nevertheless, God is supernatural to love us anyway. He loves us, and without you and the leaders and servants doing what this ministry needs, it would not be a church. But praise God, we are a church, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Pastor Nancy and I and all of us, we thank each other and are grateful. Welcome to those of you that are watching at home. It's so nice out. You should be here today. But nevertheless, we won't rail against you. We won't complain. But so we're talking about God's love. Obviously, yesterday was Valentine's Day. And so the subject, you know, everywhere you go, there are hearts and red and pink and white and candy and flowers and all these wonderful things. And the point is love. And so the most important love, I mean, realistically, in light of eternity, love in cards and pictures and candy and those flowers and things like that, they're temporal. They don't last. But God's love is eternal. And the idea of eternity is so fascinating that I think every person periodically needs to go there and try and figure it out. You know you're not going to figure it out, but you're going to try and go there. You know, we pay attention to rockets and missions into the outer space and to consider the planets and consider the stars. The Bible talks about it. The psalmist said, look up at the stars. Can you count the stars? And the body of Christ and the family of God. And God wanted a big family. That's why people keep coming into the church. People come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can come into the church. They can be a part of his eternal family that he could have, you know, to explore. Think about it. Hey, what are you going to do when you get there? Well, as soon as I've done my duty to the Almighty, to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then we worship for 1,000 years or so, and then I'm going to go off and I'm going to go explore the universe. I'm going to go to each planet, and I'm going to go as far out there as I can go, and just to see what it looks like looking back. You know, I want to be there with God, looking down at the Earth and to see it. It's a beautiful planet. I mean, from outer space, it's beautiful. We know that all of us have seen pictures from outer space and stuff like that. So it's a fascinating subject of eternity. Eternity. When does it end? It doesn't end. It just keeps going and going and going. So you better change your underwear before you go, because it's a long time. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't think when we're in heavenly bodies, it's going to be a whole different outfit, and we're excited about it. A glorified body. Never gets sick. Never gets tired. Never gets beat up. Never gets whatever, you know. So that's what we're looking forward to. They never get sick. You never get sick. Wow. Never get the sniffles. Can I have one of those Kleenexes, Nanny? By the way. All right. God's love. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's a reason for the season. Thank you, my dear. How do I know that God loves me? It's a very common question. And children's songs are so important. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, my cousin Julie's here, welcome, and her family's here, and we're grateful to have you guys here. And I just want to tell you a little story. The first song I ever recorded on a recorder, I was 5 years old at my Uncle Eddie, Julie's dad's, my uncle, and he had a tape recorder, and we were over there. My brother John and I were over at their house, and so we were tape recording and just making funny sounds and doing funny, crazy things. And so my uncle says, sing a song. And I'm not going to sing a song. 5, 6 years old, you know. So I'll sing a song. The only song I knew, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. The first song I ever sang on a recording in my life. And just interesting. It's a little trivia there. Back 5 years old, that's a long time ago. I don't even, really, yeah, I guess I've never, yeah, the first thing I ever recorded was that in my life. And now I should do a bunch of recordings, you know. I could sing like an angel, you know. No. Just kidding. We find God's love first. How can I find it? How can I understand it? Where can I get God's love? You know, I want God's love, so I go out and I want to meet people, and I just don't find it that way. And I go to work and I look for people or something to explain God's love, and I just don't find it. And I go to some churches and I just don't find it. So where do I go to find love? But the absolute perfect definition of love is found in the New Testament of the Bible. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's our Heavenly Father. It's the truth of God's word, that we could know the love of God, that we could know it. Knowing in the Bible is different than knowledge in your brain. It's knowing knowledge in your heart, in your spirit, in your inner man. And so we want to know the love of God in our inner man. But we want everybody to know that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. All right, so we believe our most important confession is that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And a close second is Jesus loves me. We teach everyone, especially children, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Apostle John is the apostle of love. He wrote the book of John, and he wrote the 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And in his writings about love, he said in 20 times, John, he wrote about love. And in 1 John, 24 times, 2 John, 4 times, 3 John, 4 times. And he wrote Revelation is 4 times. So 56 times, John talks about love, the love of God, and God's love. And so obviously with the subject in our lives, you know, that we just are in that season of Valentine's, of love and giving cards and gifts and candy and chocolate, all that stuff. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." The Bible says they don't know love. So we need to know the love of God. We can know by trusting that his word is truth, and his word says God loves you and that God is love, and we want to experience that love. If there's an emptiness, if you're watching or if you're here, if there's any emptiness on the inside and you go, "I just can't seem to solve this. I got money. I've got fortune and fame and things. I've got plenty of things, but yet something's empty. I'm like the bottomless pit in here. I got to figure this out." Well, it's the love of God, and we need to pursue the love of God. And the only way for us to pursue the love of God is I'm not looking for a feeling. I can't get a feeling, because you can't tangibly feel love. You know, some people can be nice, some people can be loving, some people can be warm, some people can give you a hug or a kiss or something like that. But I need to know that strength of the truth of what people are always talking about, love. And we find God's love in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." We find that love, we find everlasting love by faith in God and God's word. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and we've believed the love that God has to us." We've known it and we believe it. When we accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, then we begin to pursue God. We pursue his word. We pursue his love. And we experience that love. It's not this overwhelming knockout punch. Pow, I've been socked by the love of God. No, it's this gentle, peaceful, just this confident knowing that God loves me, God lives in me, and that I am going to live eternally with him. Amen. It's a peace of God that passes understanding that is in our heart by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:16, "We've known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him." We believe as Christians that the Holy Spirit, there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has come into our heart to live in our spirit. Our heart is our spirit. It's not our blood pump, it's our spirit. We put the spirit as first and most important in our lives as Christians, because the world puts their flesh first. I want to feed myself. I want to pamper myself. I want to do things for my flesh. But as a Christian now, I want to put my spirit first. I want to put God first. When I say I want my spirit to be first, that's putting God first and God's word first, so that I can get his word into my life, because his word is eternal. And it's this idea of the expanse of the the universe. If God's word is eternal, then I want as much of God's word on the inside of me so that when I check out of here, at some point we're going to leave or we're all going to go together. But if I check out, I want to build as much of the word of God into my spirit so that eternally when you get there, it's like different levels. You see these machines that have these different levels of materials that are flowing through, and you can get, you know, gauges like maybe boats or planes or cars or whatever it is, and you can test the levels at where things are at. And even in your car, everybody can relate to your car. You gotta stick the dipstick in there and test to see, make sure you've got enough oil up to the measuring point. But we want to have our levels. Our levels need to be filled up. We need to be the kind of Christians that have full levels to the top and over the top love of God so that we can extend that to people that are unlovely, that aren't, they, you know, most people say, I'm not loving you. You're the scum of the earth. And yet we have the ability and the power and of love on inside of us to reach out to that person. And we find out that once you reach out to that person and you're kind and loving to that person and they respond to that, all of a sudden they come into the church by believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and all of a sudden they get cleaned up and they're different, and you can see the joy of the Lord on them and you can see the power of God on them, and now they're the best citizens in the church, and they work and they do things and they help and they serve, and wow, what a human being that was. And you would have thought, if you would have just looked at him like the same way everybody else looks at him, you go, oh, that's the scum of the earth, I don't want nothing to do with them. Jesus loved the unlovable. He went through the highways and the byways. He wasn't looking for the religious people. The religious people that had all the outfits for the church. They had the big hats and they had the gowns and they had the robes and they had the utensils that they carried. And they walked proudly around and they said, I'm religious, I'm righteous, I'm so powerful and good. No, Jesus went into the highways and the byways and he compelled them to come in. He went looking for that lost person, that person that's so ashamed that they won't even lift up their head. And Jesus went and he loved them. And he put his arms around them. And he said, I love you. And for the first time, they looked up into the eyes of Jesus Christ. And they saw the love of God. And they received him. And they changed. They changed. They put off the beggarly elements and clothing of the world. And they put on the robe of righteousness. Now they can look people in the eyes, and they can hear the voice of God through their spirit. And now they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're being doers of the word and not hearers only. They're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things are added unto them. They've come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so thank you, Jesus, for taking me and taking us and taking we and taking all of us who were lost. We're lost. We're out there floundering around. You know, we thought because of our education level or how brilliant we were or something like that, we thought, yeah, we've made it, but the satisfaction wasn't there. The peace wasn't there. The joy wasn't there. There's something missing in this equation, and I'm trying to put my finger on it, and I need to know. And many come to the realization or come to the end of their rope, whichever it is, and they realize God is love. Amen. So let me say amen. 1 John 4:12-19 from the Amplified Bible. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another with unselfish concern, God abides in us, and his love, the love that his essence abides in us and is completed and perfected in us. Verse 13, this Amplified, it spreads out the word and it gives it to you several ways. By this we know with confident assurance that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. 14 says, we who were with him in person have seen and testify as eyewitnesses that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses and acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in that person and he in God. Verse 16, we have come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep, consistent faith that love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. God abides continually in him. I'm just going to read a couple more verses. In this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. There's a day coming called the day of judgment. And everybody's going to stand before the Lord. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him. Humility. Pride says, yeah, I know. Don't tell me nothing. But humility. Gets to look Jesus in the eyes. In the eyes of love. And we will stand before him and we'll give account of our life. Every one of us will give account of our life. How long will that take? I mean, you know, think about it, man. There's millions and billions of people that are going to stand before Jesus and give account. I mean, that could take a long time, Lord. How far back of the line am I? But you don't care about time. In eternity, there's no time. And it'll be like, all for one and one for all, and we'll all get our turn and we'll stand before the Lord and he'll pass out rewards. Rewards for faithfulness. And we judge ourselves right now and we go, am I faithful? Am I diligent? Am I a doer of God's word? Do I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? I evaluate myself. The Bible says, judge yourself and you'll not be judged. If you judge yourself, then I can stand before him and I can be not overly confident, but this is the confidence that I have in him. That if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, then I know I have the petition that I've desired of him. That's in Little John. And you come to a place where you always stay humble, but there are times when you just go, yeah, Lord, we got this. Yeah. And you have joy, and you've got peace, and you've got long-suffering, and you've got gentleness, and you've got goodness, and you've got faith, and you've got meekness, and you've got temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And as I grow in Christ, then that fruit of the Spirit becomes developed in me. It's called growing up into Christ in all things. I'm growing up into Christ. I'm not babes, not children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. No, I've matured past getting knocked around by what people say. I know for myself the truth, and I'm growing up into Christ. I'm becoming strong in Christ because I know the word. I know what he says. I know what I believe, and I have strength to believe that God is in me and that I have eternal life. That's a truth. Hey, man, we have the truth. We have the knowledge and the boldness. Here it says in 17, in this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected within us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. There's a day of judgment coming. The world will be judged. But thank God for the church, hallelujah, true church. There are some churches that don't believe in Jesus. Some churches don't believe the Bible. Some churches don't believe anything except, you know, it's a place of fellowship to go hang out or something. But we believe with deep, consistent faith, the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. 17, in this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected with us so that we may have confidence in that day of judgment. That's where I was when I jumped out into talking some more. With assurance and boldness to face him. God, Almighty God. Do we have the boldness to face him? Wow. Because as he is, so are we in the world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. No fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So when I walk down the street at 2 a.m. on a Friday or Saturday night, I'm not ignorant. I'm not going to think that that's the place for me. It ain't the place for me. And when I go places that I don't belong, and I don't belong out there at 2 a.m. on a Friday or Saturday night. And so I know that that's not me and that's not where I belong. And so I don't have confidence if I do that unless I had to. My grandson lives about a block away on that street right there, First Avenue. So if I had to go there, of course I would. But otherwise, I don't belong there. I belong here. I belong at home. I belong with everything that I have to do for my family and my church and the things that I have to do. And I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what we can know what we're supposed to do, because we have wisdom, understanding. We have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ to understand what he wants us to do. So it shouldn't be confusing. The bottom lines, the simpler things of our faith are not confusing. They're straightforward. They are what they are. God's not going to change it. He said it. That's the way he wants it. It'll always be that way. 2 million, jillion, billion, jillion, however, how far out in the universe, it's always going to be the same. The word won't change. God's not going to change it for you or me. God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, everybody knows it. Thank you very much. I'm a cheerleader. Yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. He does not change. God's word doesn't change because we decide it should change. I'm not sure I want that. Well, there's a lot of things that I've struggled with in my life as a Christian, and I learned that God is right and I'm wrong. I learned that. It took time. It was not easy. That God's, let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar. All right, so verse 18, going back there again, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, for perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. So our journey through the life of love, life of faith, is started by our belief and accepted, by the belief and acceptance of that. And then our objective is to put God first. And that's not, I mean, that is, you know, there are billions of Christians who have never put God first place. And that is the big challenge, I think, of our Christianity, is that he first loved us, and so we want to love him back, and by loving him back, we want to put him first place in our life. We love God, and therefore we love others as ourselves, and there's no better evidence of God's love, A, than to see it in the Word of God, B, to believe that it's true, C, to internalize it by meditating on it, speaking it, and confessing it out loud so that I can hear it. I'm not saying it so other people can hear it. I'm saying it so I can hear it. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Everybody goes through that time where you go, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if anybody loves me. I don't know if I'm lovable. But then you just see it in the Word and you go, you say it with your mouth, you say, God loves me. I believe God loves me. I'm forgiven. I've been bought with a price. He took my infirmity. He bore my sickness. He took my sins on the cross for me, and now God loves me. I'm forgiven. And so now I say it to myself out loud, and when I'm alone, I don't go saying it around to people, other people. I just say, you know, God loves me. God loves me. And pretty soon you get bold enough, and it slips out of your mouth, and you say, God loves me, and God loves you, and we love God. So it's something that comes to us, and some people go, well, I don't want to be a crazy Christian. Well, you don't have to be a crazy Christian. Nobody has to be a crazy Christian. You don't have to be a crazy Christian. But there comes a point in your Christianity where you want to say, God loves me and God loves you. Yeah. That just means that you've come to the point where I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. That's a scripture that says I'm no longer ashamed. I'm not hiding. I'm not pretending that I don't really know God, but I really do. I'm not a closet Christian. He first loved us, so we love him. There's no better evidence of God's love than to see it in the Word of God. I was looking for this. It's right on my Bible. It's a tie clip, but it's got a cross on it. They give them to you when you buy a tie from the store I go to. That's cool. Where was I? All right, there is no better evidence of God's love than to see it in the Word of God. B, to believe that it's true. C, to internalize it by meditating on it and speaking and confessing it out loud so that I can hear it. And D, the reality hits. God loves me. I love God. We teach our children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But it's good for adults too. I told you that one already. John 4:8, God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Again, Valentine's Day is just an easy holiday for most people. No hustle and bustle. Just say, I love you. And whether you do it in a card or a box of candy or a gift or whatever it is, but telling someone I love you should be easy for a child of God. No deception, no manipulation, no ill will, just an attitude of gratitude and a simple, I love you. And amen, it works. It works really well. And so I think as Christians in a church like this, we should be courageous enough and strong enough to tell somebody I love you. And they would know by the way you say it that it doesn't mean anything funny. It just simply means that, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. Family of God, I love you. And that is part of what we do. So we find our love. We find our love in God's Word. And what time is it? Oh, wow, I got lots of time. In 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. So we find our love from God not through feelings. I can't really say if I felt. I mean, there are times you feel good, but I can't say that I feel on a consistent basis that God's love. I sense his presence. I know the Holy Spirit lives in me. I know the Holy Spirit loves me. I know the Father loves me. I know the Son of God loves me. And yet, it's really not a feeling. It's a belief. It's trust. It's faith. And so I know he's there, and I know that I never worry about leaving this life and not going to heaven, because I believe the promises of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me. He was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. And so it's a cool subject to study if you're not afraid of it, the end for those who refuse to believe. The end for those who refuse to believe. There's a place that God has appointed for those who refuse to believe. And once you're confident in your faith in Christ, not arrogant, but confident, the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. So we have confidence in him based on what he said. But then there's also a research in Scripture where you study the place that people go that reject him. And it's a fact. There's only two places to go. There's no in-between. There's just no in-between. There's a heaven to gain or a hell to shun. And a hell to shun. You're shunning. I'm saying no. I don't want to go there. But the path has been defined from the beginning. Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they've known you from the beginning. They've known you from before the world. How is that possible? How could he know me before the world began? But God knew every being, every human being that would ever exist. He knew them ahead of time. And our objective is to get everybody to a choice. Life is boiled down in a lot of ways to simple choices. And a simple choice of, do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or do I reject him? And yes, I believe. No, I'm doing my own thing. And that's where the whole world is right now. And so we choose in this church to continually present the gospel, to continually teach the word, preach the word, give people the Bible. You know, we made the choice that if God is real, if he's real, make your own decision. Is he real? If he's real, then he could write a book. And if he could write a book, he could make every single word of it be truth and make every single word of it come to pass. And he would have his way perfectly in the book, even though many would argue, I don't believe that book. I don't think that's true. It doesn't, it contradicts itself. It's got problems. It's got errors. It's got bad people in it. It's got bad things in it. You can argue all you want. But if what he says is true, and I believe with all my heart it is, and most of you that are here believe, and those of you that are watching, you believe that God's word is true. Otherwise, you wouldn't get up in the morning and come to church on a Sunday, and you wouldn't watch from home if that's what you're watching. You wouldn't spend time reading this book. You wouldn't give your money to the church if you didn't believe the book. Some people do because it's a religious habit that they have learned to do, but a lot of people do it because they want to honor God. They want to honor God. And so there's a lot of people in here that sing and play music and work around the church, and they come faithfully when it's today it's easy to be in church, man, I'm telling you. But there was a couple weeks back when it was so cold and there was ice everywhere and it was horrible, and yet the church came to church. And so, you know, we make choices, and the choices have eternal values. We make choices that have eternal value. And so we're encouraging someone right now that they want to make eternal value choices and to find the faith of God. Amen. All right, so wrapping up this message, right there I see a clock. Wow, I got a lot of time. Sometimes we don't have any time, and then sometimes we have lots of time. So let's go to, we've got a couple more verses here to look at. 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed, past tense. Not everybody has, but many of us can say we've known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. 1 John 4:16, talking about we believe God's love towards us. Again, how do we know? The Bible tells us so, that God is love, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Verse 18 says, he that believes in him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Our world today is in a very contrary position. Many are choosing their path, obviously, and they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or believe that he died on the cross. They don't believe that he was raised from the dead. Many people don't believe that he's raised from the dead, that Jesus physically on the third day, that's the whole Easter story coming up upon it, and that, it, you know, we believe it, we celebrate it. It's one of the biggest things there is in the Christian world, and we want to invite anyone in this room or anyone watching, anyone under the sound of our voice, to believe. You don't have to know the Bible like a preacher. You don't have to do everything like Pastor Nancy. You know, she's the best Christian I know. But we invite anybody anyone to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we believe that there's a way to do it. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Because with your mouth, confession is made. We say the word confession is when you say it with your mouth. You say it out loud. Why do you have to say it out loud? Because you want the whole spiritual world to hear it. You're not saying it so somebody around you can hear it. You're saying it so that the whole audience of the universe hears you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The whole universe hears you say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus Christ was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. You say it so the whole universe can hear, I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. We believe this is our choice of presenting the option of receiving Christ as your Savior. When I say option, God gives you options. You have an option to believe or you have an option not to believe. You have an option to receive or not receive. And so, in a moment, we're going to say a salvation prayer. And we're going to invite anyone that wants to say the prayer to say it. But do you have something you want to share? We're really early. I didn't know. I guess I seem to run out of time normally. Now I've got lots of time.
Yeah, I grew up going to church every Sunday without fail. And my mom was a front row sitter in church besides.
Did you have to sit in front too?
Well, of course. I was a kid. And then if I didn't sit still, I got to sit in the corner on a stool and learn how to sit still when I got home. So I learned how to sit still in church and look like I was paying attention even if I wasn't. Because that happened a lot.
Oh, we all did it.
Yeah.
We grew up in church too.
Yeah. But I never knew all that time I spent in church. I never knew that you could have a personal relationship with God. And truthfully, after I found out, I was a little miffed.
Ticked?
A little bit. Because I thought, man, if I would have known, I could have probably made some different choices in my life. Then I had to realize that God knew. He knew what it was going to take to get me to the point where he wanted me. I needed to just let all that go. And I was so excited. I had such an overwhelming peace when I finally just surrendered. I thought, okay, I can live without some of these people, but I cannot live without Jesus Christ in my life anymore.
Amen.
And so that was it. I called the church the next day. I had gone to a church that preached the gospel, and it was like light bulbs went off. Everything the preacher said made sense. So I called the church on a Monday. I'm like, hi, I want to get saved. Apparently, I found out after the fact that not a whole lot of people actually do that. They didn't want to let me off the phone. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it over the phone. How about if I just come there? I was at work. I didn't want my coworker to hear me, so I just went downstairs. That was back in the day when they had pay phones.
Yeah.
So I used a pay phone in the lobby, and I called the church. Best decision I ever made. Got in my car, drove out to the church. Prayed with one of the pastors, and never looked back. Never looked back. The peace of God that comes into your life and your heart, it's so worth it. And it's so tremendous. It's an adventure. And I'm so thankful.
Amen.
That no matter what happens, I know that God has me. And that's the assurance that we have in him. There isn't anybody, if you're over, 20, even if you're under 20, you might have had some kind of crazy things happen in your life. Life can be a challenge. Life can be really hard. Things can happen that are very unfair, hard to process. And yet in God, man, you have that assurance, that quiet assurance that God has you. And no matter what, you're going to be okay. God be for you.
Who can be against you?
And that's what it's all about. Wow, it is early. Well, that's all right. We got family here. We got to go to lunch. So this has been bothering me the whole time.
My wife is adjusting me again.
I have to fix him. That's called being a helper. There we go.
Thank you, helper.
You want to lead people, give people. We do this in every service. I know a lot of churches have gotten away from that, but you know, we never know who's watching online. We get lots of testimonies from people that stumble across our messages somehow, never heard of us, maybe live, you know, different part of the country. And we always want to give people an opportunity to pray.
There's a couple of things here that everybody probably knows by heart. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. And so we know that we take these things by faith. I'm not desperate for a feeling. I know we can get to that place where, God, I just got to know.
And he does demonstrate his love.
He does demonstrate his
love. As you live your life in him, he demonstrates his love through his goodness, through his grace, through his mercy. He uses other people in your life to help you see how much he loves you. So that does happen.
It does.
You're right, it's not a feeling.
But great, I'm grateful that I learned not to look for it, but to trust by faith. And so we trust it by faith. And that's why we say the salvation prayer, is that we're saying the prayer and trusting in faith that that's what it takes to receive eternal life. That if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we'll be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto. With the heart, a person believes. And so what we do is we ask everybody every single time to say the prayer out loud so that if you've never said it, you can say it with everybody else. Or if you're here and you've been here and you just weren't sure, you still get to say it. We say it every single service, and so we're inviting everybody right now to say the salvation prayer with us. We say, Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
And was raised again from the dead.
And was raised again from the dead.
So that I could have eternal life.
So that I could have eternal life.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus. Come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive forgiveness now.
And I receive eternal life.
And I receive eternal life.
And I thank and praise you for it.
And I thank and praise you for it.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I sure would like to have all this time every Sunday.
Well,
I do, don't I?
I do have something on my heart.
Good. So. Okay.
You want
my Bible?
No, I have my own. Thank you. On Wednesday night, I did a message called Worthy of Love, because so many people feel like they're not worthy. The things that have happened in their lives, the things that they've done. And so I just had it on my heart to pray for anybody that wants a greater understanding of how loved you are. And if you're at home, you can stand up. If you're here and you're able to stand up and you want to stand up. And I'm just going to pray and believe God that he will express his love to you today in a very special way. Something that only God could do for you. So Father, right now I thank you for everyone standing, for those standing at home. God, I pray that you would touch their life in a special way today, that your love would be revealed in a deeper way, and that each person standing would be founded securely in your love, on your love, that there would be that quiet assurance and confidence, that they would know the Creator of the universe loves them specifically. God, I'm asking you to confirm your word. You said in your word that you confirm your word with signs following. So, Father, I thank you for a sign for every person today, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that, God, you did that for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, you can sit down. Let me just tell you, when God does that, when God does something for you, just some special little thing, do not doubt that that was God. God does things for us all the time. And we forget to thank him and we forget to recognize him. And sometimes we're just going through our day and we don't recognize how good God is to us all the time. And so when you have that, I just believe you're going to know that God did that just for you. Whatever it is, thank him for it. Thank him for it. And don't talk yourself out of it. Sometimes people talk themselves out of God blessing them. Or other people come along and go, well, that wasn't really God. Do you know that that's exactly what the devil said to Eve in the garden? Way back in Genesis, did God really say? He's never changed his tactic. The enemy's real. God is real. Don't listen to him. Listen to God. Amen? Our clanking came back. I don't know if anybody online can hear the clanking. Amanda's dad fixed it. A bunch of guys, they lifted up the radiator. But I think it's because it's so warm out. And some of the steam is still on in the building, and we turned all the radiators off because we don't want people sweating in church or whatever. So I'm not sure if that's what the clanking is all about, but we turned all the radiators off, so maybe that's what is causing. Yep, so anyway, hey, did you just say that steam doesn't like us? Okay, well, the clanking, not that bad. It was worse when we first moved in. Oh, man, it was clanking over there, clanking in the back, clanking all over the place. And so we've corrected most of the clanking, and today we just got to put up with it a little bit more. So anyway, coming up on Saturday is Revelation class. Thanks, Randy. Morgan just pointed, so I thought maybe I was looking at the wrong thing. Revelation class on Saturday, 9 o'clock here at the church. If you want to know where we're at on God's time clock and how that relates to prophecy and scripture, then you are welcome to join us. Just a quick reminder, the food and different things that gets put out. It's for anybody that wants to take it. We've got some friends that were part of the ministry for years, and they bring stuff to us on Saturdays, and we put it out for anybody. We just want to be a blessing. There are some clothes and different things, again, in the pantry room, kind of around the corner. Free for anybody that needs them, wants to take them. There's some extra stuff in there, so help yourself. Peruse through there. And if you want to bring anything, just let me know ahead of time so we can discuss it, make sure it's something that would be a blessing to people in the church. We're going to close by receiving the offering. Wow, it's clanking over there now. I know, it's a little distracting, but anyway. I came in this morning, and I don't know if you noticed when you walked into the building. Some of you came in the back, but the hallway is so hot. The maintenance guy forgot to turn the radiator down out there, so it was on 5. 5 is like high heat when it's 30 below, not when it's 50 degrees outside. So I was out there turning the heat down in there, and again, like I said, John, you had your, where is John? In the back. John had his radiator on 5. We're wondering why it's so hot in here. So anyway, it's a lot of information that you probably don't need to know. We're going to receive the offering. God so loved that he gave. We so love God that we give. It's an honor to honor God with our finances. Pastor Steve and I never look. You're not under any compulsion to give. If you want to give, and you are a part of the church and you want to support what God is doing here, then by all means, do it with a willing, cheerful heart, because that's what God loves. He's not interested in extracting anything out of us. Just like parents, it's not great when you have to extract your stuff out of your kids to get them to do right. You love it when your kids make the right decisions. That's a blessing. God loves it when his kids do things because they love them. So, Father, thank you for your great love this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom because we love you. God, I thank you for the promises in your word, the promises in the Bible, that when we give, it's given back to us. Good measure, shaken together and running over, pressed down, people give back unto us. Thank you for multiplying the seed sown in this church, Father, that every need would be met. Thank you for meeting the needs of the people of this church. And Father, we thank you for the ministries that we get to support as a church. We pray for them to have their needs met. Thank you, Lord, for you are a God of abundance and no lack. In Jesus' name.